Everyone, welcome over to the channel. At the time of this recording, it is 3:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we're going to be going over what has taken place inside of the Gaza Strip over the last 24 hours. The IDF did, in fact, enter Rafah around this time yesterday. Likely, you're watching this video after it uploaded around 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, but if you're a true supporter, you're getting this thing as soon as I am done with it. Now, let's dive into it. According to a statement by Benjamin Netanyahu, he said he ordered the IDF to go into Rafah with the unanimous consent of the Israeli War Council to achieve two main objectives. The first objective being to get the hostages returned, and the second one being the elimination of Hamas. There's no surprise there. This is the same thing that Netanyahu has been stating for several months now as the overall goal of Israel's operations inside of the Gaza Strip. Now, of course, this is following an attack that took place on Sunday, which killed four Israeli Defense Force soldiers just outside of Gaza in southern Israel. We're going to jump over to our good friend Google Maps to help you guys out as we dive into this. We're going to focus in down here on the southeasternmost corner of the Gaza Strip, where the tri-border region exists between Gaza, Egypt, and of course, Israel itself. And when we zoom in down there, what you're going to see is this location. It is known as the Kerem Shalom border crossing. Then just to the north of that, you have the Kerem Shalom kibbutz. Somewhere in this general vicinity, the IDF was staged in order to provide security for both the checkpoint and, truthfully, in the videos that we ended up seeing of the attack that took place on Sunday, it looked like they had a large amount of armor as well as tons of Israeli service members who are gathered up, likely staging for operations to go into Rafah. We know for a fact that several weeks ago, Netanyahu had stated that there was a time set in order to go into Rafah. Now, I don't know if it's a coincidence that it happened to be the day after the Israeli Defense Force was attacked, where they had four of their service members get killed, or if it was a retaliatory strike against Hamas and they just decided enough is enough, it's time to go in, and they moved the day up. That information has not been released. However, what we do know is the Israeli Defense Force pushed directly across the border at the Kerem Shalom border crossing. From there, they had two different units split off. There is reports of Israeli special forces that had gone in and secured the Rafah border crossing originally, which was then followed up by infantry and armor troops. They also had a separate unit continue to push into the north into eastern Rafah. If we go back over to Google Maps, what you're going to notice is this main road that cuts down the Salah al-Din Road that goes straight into the Rafah border crossing. Now, there is lots of reports that have came out in the last 24 hours that Egypt is worried about a mass horde of Palestinians breaking across the border and causing issues for the Egyptians. It is believed that because of that, the Israeli Defense Force is worried about the civilians going across, and to prevent an international incident, they're going to go and they're going to lock down that border location, prevent a bunch of civilians from trying to break through and go on to the Egyptian side. Additionally, they also have other concerns, and that has to be tunnels. So if the IDF is concerned about dismantling Hamas and also getting their hostages out, well, of course, they're going to have to lock down the tunnels that go in between the Gaza Strip and Egypt. Hamas has shown these tunnels numerous times on social media, on mainstream media, in several different locations that these tunnels do in fact exist, and they use them for smuggling purposes. Now, the Israeli Defense Force did release this video, which shows them taking over the Rafah border crossing. The Israeli Defense Force says that they killed about 20 insurgents overnight as they moved into this general area. At the same time, it looks like Palestinian media outlets are claiming that the IDF actually killed 20 workers at the Rafah border crossing itself. But as you can see, it doesn't look like there is any serious sustained fighting for the IDF taking it over. From my contacts on the ground, it sounds like it went relatively smooth, not a lot of resistance for them moving into that area, and they were able to set up. However, there's other videos that I'm about to put up here of tanks being set into position, and those tanks are actively shooting and engaging into Rafah itself with coaxial machine guns. Here's the video that I'm talking about of the Israeli tanks just on the other side of that border crossing, and you see a sign that says "I love Gaza." People are freaking out over this because the Israeli tank ran over the sign, but if I was to unmute it, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear machine guns going off. And those machine guns going off are suggesting that they're in contact. You could also see another tank inside that video. So it does appear that the IDF is setting up some sort of a defensive perimeter, and that sign just happened to fall victim to an Israeli tank. Now, at that same location, the IDF was able to go over there and raise up their flag after removing the Palestinian flags that were flying at it. Now, the IDF is stating that over 100,000 internally displaced people from inside eastern Rafah were able to flee, and they're on their way into Khan Yunis, where Netanyahu currently has around 40,000 humanitarian aid tents that are being set up by the Egyptian Red Crescent. We haven't seen any updated photos of it, but last week it looked like they had right around 500 to 750 tents that had been established outside of Khan Yunis. I truthfully don't know how many people they're going to be able to shove in there, but I do know that those tents are coming equipped with food, as well as water, as well as toilets, and all of those other good needs that those internally displaced people are going to need when they get into Khan Yunis. Now, the IDF did state that they found multiple tunnels, up to three is what's being reported, over in the general vicinity of where they were operating last night. Some of those tunnels may or may not be crossing into Egypt. None of that was stated, but you can get a very good look. You'll have to excuse the cameraman. He had it sideways and didn't realize it, but it looks like these are some pretty well-constructed tunnels, very well-reinforced, obviously big enough for people to stand in and continue to move through. They spent a decent amount of money on those. And if you go back to the beginning of this video here in just a second, which we will, you'll see it actually looks like either a bunker buster bomb was dropped on this sucker, or the IDF actually went over and dug it up in order to find this tunnel. So I don't believe that this is the tunnel entrance. Personally, I actually believe that this is one that they just managed to either blow, or one that they managed to find and dig up. Now, there is several different ways IDF can go about identifying these tunnels underground, from all sorts of different signal intelligence, as well as using artificial intelligence in order to identify them. But if we go back to the very beginning of the video where it first starts off, you could see the amount of earth that has been moved from in and around that tunnel entrance, as well as it looks like weatherproofing that Hamas had put in place before they even buried the dang thing. So they are very well constructed. Obviously, you have concrete, you have plastic, you have all sorts of stuff to ensure the longevity of those tunnels. Another big concern, not just for Israel, but also for Egypt, is people jumping into those tunnels and moving their way across over into the Sinai Peninsula. Israel, I think, is going to be more concerned with hostages or Hamas escaping through that tunnel system. Now, with the IDF operating in Rafah for less than 24 hours, there's already accusations floating around of them committing war crimes, and most of them are coming from official Palestinian news agencies, such as the video I'm about to show you that got put out by the Times of Gaza. And we're going to talk about why I believe this to be propaganda here in just a sec. First, we're going to let that video roll. If you look off over onto the left side, you can see the rooftop of a mosque with two pillars that look like they're sticking out from the side. We're going to talk about those pillars as well as the mosque itself here in just a sec. I was able to locate it, and I was able to identify the actual location, geolocate where this video was taken from. And he's about to show you the damage on the roof. Now, what the Times of Gaza is stating is that Israel had dropped a bomb on this particular mosque, and they use this close-up to show you evidence of the damage. When we examine the close-up itself, it's kind of hard to make out on this video, but there is, in fact, rebar that is still cutting across this hole in several different directions. That suggests, and the rebar, by the way, is not bent, it's not crooked, it's not misshapen by any ways. It just looks like the concrete got knocked out and the rebar is perfectly there. So a bomb didn't shove its way through that rebar itself. But either way, the Times of Gaza is saying that this building got bombed. We're going to let this video finish out here in just a sec so that you can see it in its entirety for what they ended up posting. And yeah, you know, people see this and they go, oh my gosh, it's so horrible, it's bad. But again, once I show you the context of the video, where it's located, you're going to understand why I actually believe this was a Hamas rocket that ended up slamming into that particular mosque. And the people are going to continue to move. It goes back to the mosque. That's pretty much all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go back over to the map, and I'm going to pull you up to a specific location. Now, if you remember, I pointed out those two different pillars on the mosque itself. So if you go over to Gaza Strip and you type in mosque country, what you're going to end up with is a mosque that you currently see me have pulled up on the screen. If you zoom over in and onto mosque country, where that tag locations is at, you are going to see that it is in fact a mosque. You'll see that it does have the blue dome like was shown inside the video. And then you can also see the two pillars. This is one of the reasons why I believe this to be the mosque in question. Next, if you go over to the referenced video that the Times of Gaza is using to allege Israel bombed the mosque, what you're going to notice right underneath one of those pillars is this L-shaped angle of a building. This right here is going to be your long axis of the L. This one right here is going to be your short axis of the L. Going back to imagery from Google Maps, you can see that L-shaped building located right here. With that being said, I assess this to be the actual layout of that video and how it went down. Right here, you have the observation route where the gentleman was walking with his camera before turning and looking directly at the mosque, which then puts that L shape right in front of him, which you can clearly see in the video. This circle is going to denote the impact site of that particular munition on the mosque itself, which again, we can assess because now we know where that gentleman, generally speaking, was standing. Instead, we go back over to the referenced video and you can see that that impact site is actually on the right side of the gentleman filming right about the, 5 o'clock position for where he's standing for where the impact of that particular alleged munition ended up hitting the mosque itself. Going back over to the schematic that I drew up for you, that would put it right about here. Now, why is that important? Because it would assess that the direction of fire of that rocket is going to be from the north, traveling south. Of note, the IDF is actually about 4 kilometers away from that particular mosque itself along that direction of fire. Now, this is important to understand because the bulk of Hamas inside of Rafah should be embedded up in the more densely populated places inside of Rafah. And in fact, if I was to switch you guys over to imagery of the damage inside of Rafah, you would see that that area of Rafah is primarily where the IDF has been targeting with airstrikes in the last several weeks, which means that they likely believe that Hamas operatives are in that area. And if this is true, then Hamas would have fired the rocket in that general direction directly over the mosque, trying to target the IDF. You can see where the mosque itself is on this screen. And then this dot itself, again, about 4 kilometers away, is actually the Rafah crossing. So if that's the case, everything kinds of lines up. Now, if we were to extend this out, going directly over top the mosque, you can pretty much determine where they were shooting or the angle of which it could have been coming from. So likely it probably came from somewhere in just a little bit deeper. Now, there is an exception to this rule. That rocket could have started spinning out of control as it was going and slammed into it at an angle, something of that nature. But either way, it is highly unlikely that the IDF actually bombed that mosque. And in my opinion, it's very important to put this information out because people are rioting and people are risking their college careers. They're risking their futures. We have professors that are losing their jobs because they believe the IDF is actually bombing mosques and doing things of that nature unjustifiably in the Gaza Strip. And we need to start crushing that information. Additionally, if we go over the map, there is reports, however, they are unconfirmed, that the IDF has actually pushed up the entire border wall in between Egypt and Gaza and has made it all the way to the Med. However, I have seen zero information whatsoever suggesting that, and I find it highly unlikely given the amount of Hamas terrorists that are going to be in the northern portion of the Gaza Strip. The Israelis would essentially be cutting themselves off and they would be highly susceptible to attacks. Now, a lot of you have been asking me how the IDF plans on clearing this place out. The IDF has not released any information on their actual operational plans, how they're going to go about this. But given the actual operation tempo that it would take in order to effectively clear that location out, and that location being Rafah itself, you could actually assess that this would take 1 to 2 months, depending on how many troops the IDF wants to throw at this fight. If I go to an imagery style view of Rafah itself, you can see why the IDF was able to clear up to the Rafah border crossing so quickly. It's because that area within itself is not very densely populated, so they're going to be able to move very quick. However, it looked like the IDF's plans for evac kind of went just a couple hundred meters on the other side of the Saladin road that's cutting right through the middle of the Gaza Strip and down into Rafa. With that being said, they are likely going to be doing a phased approach to this clearing operation where they're going to be dropping leaflets, warning people it's time for them to leave. And then a day, 2 days later, they're going to be moving into that area to conduct combat operations. Unfortunately, we're seeing videos of a lot of residents coming out of Rafa that are either stomping on the leaflets, telling the IDF that they're not going to leave and that they think the whole thing is garbage. Additionally, there was a phone call that got released by OSINT. Now, whether or not, whether or not the phone call is real, it doesn't matter. It was of a family member that was refusing to evacuate their family and kids from the area, even though they knew the IDF was going to be coming in. They were on the phone with the soldier, and the soldier was telling them, get the hell out of there, move. You're going to be condemning your family to death. It's essentially suicide, and you need to go. But the person ended up staying. It's not even worth me playing. It's several minutes long. I'm not going to waste that time in your life. Okay, that's essentially what happened. But what we do know is that Palestinians are posting videos of themselves, basically, just throwing the freaking things to the side and ignoring the warnings from the IDF. What is that going to result in? Well, that is going to result, okay, and a higher number of civilian casualties once the IDF pushes deeper into Rafah. This first 24 hours, moving into the next 24 hours, all right, are going to see little civilian casualties, all right? As they continue to push deeper into Rafah, you're going to see that number increase significantly, mark my words on that. And that has to do with the population density once they start pushing it deeper into Rafah, and it has to do with the civilians' unwillingness or inability in order to evacuate. I did see several unconfirmed reports yesterday that the Palestinian civilians were unable to leave Eastern Rafah, and they were saying that Hamas was shooting at them and attempting to keep them inside. Zooming back out and going over to the map, we're going to go up here to the northern border of Israel, and we're going to talk about Hezbollah for just one brief moment. Hezbollah did get the green light from Iran just a few weeks ago, authorizing them to attack Israel should Israel decide to go into Rafah. Now, we haven't really seen any signs that Hezbollah is going to conduct a ground invasion over the last 24 hours. Hezbollah did release this propaganda video of themselves shooting upwards of 30 rockets into northern Israel yesterday, claiming that they impacted some very significant locations. Now, the real question is going to be whether or not Hezbollah launches a full-blown attack on Israel because they have now gone into Rafah. As far as Hamas claiming yesterday that they had agreed to a ceasefire deal with Israel after they launched the attack, well, not so much. Let's pump our brakes there. Turns out that that didn't appear to be entirely true. Israel saying that they never agreed to it. And today it looks like Al Jazeera just released details of what they are saying was the details of the ceasefire agreement. This alleged ceasefire proposal is laid out in three different stages, with stage one lasting 42 days. It includes things such as temporary cessation of hostilities, withdrawal of Israeli forces eastwards, unhindered entry of humanitarian aid, displaced Palestinians can return home, Israeli planes and drones stop flying over Gaza 10 hours a day. Hamas releases 33 captives, women, the sick, and male civilians aged below 19 and above the age of 50. Now, that is a sticky topic within itself because, it is alleged that Hamas has said that they don't really know if they even have 40 hostages still alive in their control. Then they went so far as to say, okay, well, we can do 20. And now it looks like they're claiming we got 33 that fall in this category that we'll be able to like kick out. Now, just as a reminder, there's still 134 bodies, and I'm using that term, in Hamas captivity, including six U.S. citizens as well. Now, those are dual U.S. and Israeli citizens. However, nonetheless, they are in Hamas captivity. Now, the other big problem on top of them just saying we're going to release 33 of these hostages goes down to them requesting Israel to release 30 Palestinian prisoners for each civilian captive and 50 for every captive female soldier. Then after 42 days, it would go into stage two, where they're saying military operations would end permanently and Israel would withdraw completely from the Gaza Strip. That statement alone, Israel is not going to agree to because it goes against Israel's stated goals as they've been since the start of the war inside of the Gaza Strip. As a matter of fact, nowhere in this plan does it state that Hamas would dismantle themselves or would surrender unilaterally without further fighting. I did see an alleged leak copy of this yesterday that alleged verbiage to the nature that Hamas would not build its forces up anymore, but they would not dismantle. And again, That is not going to be acceptable for the Israeli Defense Force. It's certainly not going to be acceptable for Netanyahu. Over inside of the West Bank, the IDF says they conducted an operation that took out two weapons making or IED facilities. They also killed multiple terrorists and said they took six prisoners as well that were operating within the West Bank. They also said that throughout that operation, they also ripped up a lot of roads and were able to recover a bunch of roadside bombs that were buried within the roads themselves. So what's the way forward? Well, for now, it seems that Israel has sent a delegation over into Cairo to continue ceasefire talks with Hamas. But unless those talks are going to, you know, contain a unilateral surrender of Hamas, I highly doubt that they're going to be successful in any way. So the IDF, in my opinion, is going to continue to clear out Rafah, and they're going to do it in a phased approach. They're likely to start dropping leaflets on the next area they plan on clearing within the next 24 to 48 hours. After that, it's going to be somewhere between 24 to 48 hours before they begin to move into that area and start conducting combat operations. It is my belief at that point in time, we are going to start seeing a lot heavier IDF casualties inside of Rafah. And the reason being, they're operating in an extremely dense urban environment. Hamas is going to have caches all over the dang place. And truthfully, it is just really hard fighting in an urban environment to make sure that you have solid 360 degree security, which means IDF is going to begin ambushed left and right. So we're going to see some of the heaviest fighting to come. And with the heavy fighting, we're also going to see more civilian casualties. I hope you enjoyed this quick situational update for what's taking place inside of Gaza and inside of the West Bank. I will have more information to come as soon as more information is released. If you want to stay up to date every single day and not wait for videos, we do live stream at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. During those live streams, we are covering the conflicts inside of Israel, as well as the conflict inside of Ukraine. And we're touching on some of the effects that we're starting to see here in the United States, such as the protest, if you're interested in that. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, I am out of here.